For the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we would like to wish all you fathers a very enjoyable Father's Day with your families, as our country has set aside this day to honor fathers. You know, we've asked the question in the past, what would the world be like without godly mothers? Well, we shudder to think what it would be like in that situation. But we also need to ask, what would it be like without godly fathers as well? And it wouldn't be pleasant to think about that either, would it? Of course not. The strength and purity of our nation, our society, and the church depend largely upon the home. And because husbands, fathers, are God's ordained heads of the homes, we need to understand the weighty responsibility that we have as husbands and fathers. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, the true church of the Bible, the church of Christ. And notice Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is that what we're doing, fathers? We need to be doing that. We certainly do. So this morning, let us study a sermon for fathers. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. Yes, we all need to be doing just that. And now we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, yes, in Martinsville, as we come together in our Bible classes to study God's precious Word. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That would be in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Let me take this opportunity now to thank all those that were in attendance to our gospel meeting that just ended last Sunday with Brother Randall Jones. We really appreciate you supporting our gospel meeting, and we know that you were truly blessed in being here to hear God's Word proclaimed. My cup is running over from having the privilege of attending two gospel meetings in a row. I really have been blessed in hearing God's Word from two fine preachers. So, let me mention this as well. If you're interested in studying God's Word, sitting down, having a Bible study, we look forward to those opportunities. Your questions are welcome as well, and your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our area code, our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now we're ready to get into our sermon this morning. And it is, of course, geared for fathers, but it can help us all to better serve God. So let's start out with the kind of fathers not needed in the church today. The negative examples we're going to look at is not what we want to emulate. No, we want to learn from them, though, and not be like them. We'll start with Achan in Joshua chapter 7. He took that which belonged to God and involved his entire family in sin. Thus, he was a father, but not a godly father. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So he involved his entire family by hiding this in their home. Well, they had been given earlier commands, the Israelites, that is. Yes, God gave them commands concerning taking of pagan cities and nations, going back to Deuteronomy 7, 21 through 26. And notice verses 25 and 26. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt surely utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, no one should misunderstand that. Very clear, isn't it? As we go to Joshua chapter 6, notice verses 17 through 19. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Remember that study? And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. And so Achan caused problems for the nation of Israel when he took the accursed thing and hid it in his tent. And thus the Israelites lost a battle at Ai. Remember that? Chapter 7 of Joshua. And so you can see here in verse 10 of chapter 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they, notice that, they have put it even among their own stuff. That's the whole family being involved in this sin. So you see the example here of Achan taking that which was to go into the treasury of the Lord. And certainly this is a negative example to never follow, like a father of this sort that coveted what God had commanded them that they were not to take. And so we learn from that. Be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23, and thus what happened to Achan and his family? They were put to death. Yes, that is exactly what happened. Now, let's go to another example. This would be Eli the priest, as he did not exercise control over his sons as they were priests. 1 Samuel 2:12, now the sons of Eli were sons of Beel. They knew not the Lord. In chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, verse 17, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They were causing others to abhor worship because of their sin. Now go down to verse 22, still in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They turned the area of the tabernacle into a place of immorality. These were the sons of Eli, the priest. Yes, this is a negative example of a father who was not controlling his children. Notice verses 23 through 25. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father." And thus the Lord would slay them. That's exactly what happened. Chapter 3, verse 13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever," God speaking to Eli, "for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile," and here it comes, "and he restrained them not." He failed to discipline his sons. And how many fathers, mothers as well, are not disciplining their children? We're not to spare the rod. Society says otherwise. God knows best. Now, who do we listen to? But let's go on to another negative lesson of a father who certainly was not godly, just the opposite. Jeroboam, the king who made Israel to sin. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 16, "And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and made Israel to sin." Now, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 12, you can see what Jeroboam changed as far as worshiping God. He changed the worship of God to idols, putting a calf in Dan and Bethel. He changed the place of worship from Jerusalem to Dan and Bethel. And he changed the feast day. Yes, the day of the Feast of Tabernacles. So you can see that Jeroboam was going against the will of God. He changed the priesthood as well, from the tribe of Levi to whom he wanted. Now, this is a sermon in itself, but the point is, his son followed his ways. 1 Kings 15, 25 through 26, "And Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin." What a poor example. He was king over the northern kingdom. The kingdom, yes, had the nation of Israel, better to say, had split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Thus, the northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah and had the tribe of Benjamin as well. And this was because of Rehoboam listening to the counsel of young men instead of the older, wiser men. And this caused a split. And Jeroboam became the king over Israel, the northern kingdom, and led them astray. They walked in the way of idolatry. And how many good kings were there in the northern kingdom? None. Jehu did God's will for a time, but he was wicked as well as all of them were. How sad is that? But notice, here's a positive point to make. Josiah, did not follow his father Ammon's ways, which were wicked, as you study 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23. But Josiah did that which was right in the sight of God. He was a good king. The southern kings had some good, some bad, and some mediocre. But again, all the northern kings were bad. But these are three examples not to follow of fatherhood, the influence that they were giving to their sons and other children. Certainly this is not the way to go. So with the time left, let's talk about the kind of Christian fathers needed in the church today. Of course, to be in fellowship with God, living in accordance to His will. But we can start back in the Old Testament. They weren't Christians then, of course, but they were godly fathers that leave us a good example to study today. Enoch, for example, who walked with God, Genesis 5, let's notice verses 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Remember Methuselah? What was his age? 969 years, I believe. That's all we know about him, though. But notice, this is his father. Enoch walked with God. Now, that's important. That's something to keep before us as we want to be good examples today as fathers, and of course mothers and sons and daughters for that matter, for anything we could name. We all need to walk with God. How do we do that? By staying with His Word? Yes. But notice, Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah, and this was three, and begot Methuselah 300 years, and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. That's the kind of righteous person Enoch was. God took him. He didn't die like the rest of us. Well, unless the Lord comes in our lifetime, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we need to be ready for that great day. Well, let's go on and look at another good example of the kind of fathers that are needed today in the church. And we'll stay with the Old Testament. Noah, who was righteous, saved his family. Of course, Genesis 6:22 should be familiar to us all. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. God gave him commandments for building the ark, gave him a pattern, and Noah followed that pattern right exactly as it was given him. And thus, by faith, being warned of God, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What kind of faith? Faith only? Belief only? Grace only? No, sir. God's grace allows us to be saved, but we must respond to the grace of God and have an obedient faith like Noah. He moved, you see. Hebrews 11:7 is what we're referring to here. To the saving of his house. Yes, he prepared that ark as God had commanded him to do so. And he found grace in the eyes of God. And all his family was saved. 8 souls were saved by water, 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards God. Are we willing to answer our conscience if it's set properly by the Word of God? So many are unwilling to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. How tragic is that? But let's go on. Abraham, still staying with the Old Testament, who was called a friend of God, Genesis 18:19. For I know him that he will command his children. Oh, did we notice that? He will command his children and his household after him that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And of course, Isaac was the promised child. Yes. And Abraham had other children by Keturah. But we see Abraham was called the friend of God, as he did God's will, but he also was teaching his children to obey God, commanding them, setting the proper example. As Abraham is referred to as the father of the Israelite nation, Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau was first, the twins. But Esau sold his birthright, and Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. Yes, and had 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph, of course, and so forth. Yes, we need to appreciate Abraham, called the friend of God, and a godly father. And notice this example. The Rechabites, who followed their father Rechab's training, and they would not drink wine, Jeremiah 35:6, but they said, "We will drink no wine." For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, "Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever." Verse 8, "Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters." Verse 10, "But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us." That's influence, isn't it? We could spend a lot of time discussing not drinking alcoholic beverages. Certainly fathers, mothers, we don't want to do those things that our children would mimic. We want to set a proper example, do we not? Well, of course we do. But let's go to the New Testament now and look at Zacharias, who was the father of John the Immerser. In Luke 1:5-6, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now that's quite a tribute in the Holy Writ. Luke, the beloved physician, was inspired in writing this. This is coming from God the Holy Spirit and leaving us a great example of a godly father, and of course a godly mother with Elizabeth as well. And the forerunner to Christ was beheaded because he said what was right. Yes, it's not lawful for thee to have her. It was an adulterous situation. Yes, and it cost him his life, as we know. So with the time left, fathers, we need to be proper examples. We've studied fathers who were proper examples to their families. Now let's make application to ourselves, all of us fathers. And let's answer the following questions as best we can, honestly. Am I setting the proper example by the way I treat my wife and my children? Again, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 5:25-6:4. Question number 2, am I setting the proper example by the way I treat my fellow man? neighbors, my co-workers, my brethren, of course. Matthew 7:12 applies here, doesn't it? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We call this the golden rule. Are we following it? Setting the proper example by the way we treat our fellow man. Question number 3, am I setting the proper example by what I teach my children? In Deuteronomy 4:9-10, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, your grandchildren, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Did we get that? Deuteronomy 6:7-9. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Are we keeping God's word before us, living it out, having it in our hearts, teaching our children? Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. If we love them, that is our children, we're going to discipline them. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Proverbs 29:15. So let's bring up our children in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord with proper discipline, fathers. Number 4. Am I setting the proper example by the way I serve God? In Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, this sermon has been directed primarily to fathers, but it would apply to those planning to be fathers and to all in the church, as we need to serve God faithfully and to have that good influence on others. The strength and purity of the nation, society, and church, the church of Christ, depends largely upon godly homes, does it not? And husbands and fathers, we have a God-given role as the head of our family. Are we meeting our responsibility? The gospel of Christ is the panacea for all moral, spiritual, social, and economic ills of all nations. Let's never forget it. And we thank you so much for listening today.